I don't know about you, but I'm already worn out. A lot of things happening this morning. I appreciate what you're doing for your pastor, to show your appreciation for him. And I would encourage you to pray for him and be with his family as they minister here among you. I've known Mike for, I can't even begin to estimate, but we served on several different boards and committees with our state convention, American Baptist Churches of Indiana and Kentucky, and Mike was one that was always there and always had something to say. You probably already noticed that about him, but he's a good pastor, and I know that he loves you as his church family, and that's good that you're showing that appreciation for him. I reminded the pastor that had been at the church for his first year, and the church presented him with one red rose. And he said, oh, okay, that's nice. Second year, two roses. Third year, three roses. Fourth year, four roses. Fifth year, and he just kind of accepted him. Fifth year, fifth rose, five roses. He said, thank you for the fifth. I think I'll get one and drink it for a while. I don't know if that's true or not, but anyway. If you would take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39 will be our text. That's right in my face. The writer. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. I think all of us have had the experience of seeing buildings that have been gutted by fire. The walls just kind of stand there without any signs of life, and our imaginations go to work. We think of the energy and the vitality which once centered in that building that is now nothing more than a lifeless shell. But you know, burnout is not limited only to old buildings. Burnout happens when men and women become exhausted from years of keeping a rigid schedule. It happens in marriages, which begin full of excitement and hope, and then slowly become boring and stale. It happens to the student as he or she begins the school year in August with enthusiasm, but then kind of burns out over the next 8 or 9 months. Burnout can also affect dedicated Christians. They begin their Christian life full of enthusiasm and energy. They're ready to take on any task and be present at any meeting. Then they just kind of burn out. And perhaps this morning, in your heart, you feel empty, kind of all used up. Now, this is nothing new. In fact, this feeling of being worn out and used up is in the Bible as well. This problem is as old as the Bible itself. In his letter to the Hebrews, the author wrote in verse 32, "But recall the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, and partly while you were companion to those who were so treated." And then in verse 34, the author reminded those early Christians that they had even experienced confiscation of their property joyfully. Now, I guess you would say those were the good old days. Public hostility was high. The cost of being a Christian was great. And you know, we're beginning to see more and more hostility towards the Christian faith today. Yet they were willing to pay any price because of the warm glow of their newfound faith. Everything about the Christian faith was exciting for them at the beginning. The stories of Jesus that they told over and over again, their gatherings for worship, when they sang and prayed and encouraged one another, all of that must have had a special intensity. It must have been exhilarating. And perhaps you too remember those kinds of days in your life. They would risk anything to follow their faith. But those were the former days. That was back in the day. Now, I believe the reason that a writer mentioned those exciting times was because for some folks, their enthusiasm was beginning to fade. Their flame of faith was beginning to flicker. Some of those folks weren't attending church services anymore. Others were considering dropping out. They had, in the author's words in Hebrews 12:12, drooping hands and weak knees. Being a Christian had not turned out to be a constant experience of excitement. Instead, it had become a long struggle that was filled with some mountaintop experiences as well as some deep valleys of despair. So the question is, why did those early Christians need renewal? Now, we cannot be positive as to the reason those early Christians were beginning to burn out. But I think there's some plausible suggestions, some reasons that come from the Bible itself. First of all, the thrill had gone out of hearing the gospel message. You know, all of us can lose our sense of wonder if we constantly are exposed to something that's beautiful. Several years ago, my wife and I went to the Grand Canyon, and it was just absolutely, you can't explain it. How many have you been to the Grand Canyon, some of you? It's just absolutely, it's probably been the most awesome thing I've ever seen in my life. The depth, the distance across, the width, I guess you would say, the different strata of rock, the color. I mean, it was just absolutely beautiful. And as we were driving away, I wondered if people who live along the edge of the Grand Canyon look with awe at nature's beauty the way we do when we visit there. Or I wonder if they kind of look at it the way I look at the Muscatatuck River south of Vernon when I drive across the bridge and say, oh yeah, the river's up, the river's down. Is that all they see? If you heard Handel's Hallelujah Chorus every day, you would in time lose some of the thrill that it brings to you. The people to whom Hebrews was written were losing their capacity for the wonder of God through the gospel message. The thrill was gone. And I wonder at times if the gospel message is still as thrilling today to some of us as it once was. For so many Christians, it seems like, well, it's just another thing we hear at church every Sunday. Second, the years were passing, and they saw nothing happening. These folks thoroughly expected that Jesus would return during their lifetime. They had paid a price, and they were beginning to wonder if it was worth it or if Jesus would ever return. And this feeling of being burned out takes place when we feel like we're running into a brick wall day after day. And you know, I think those in helping professions, teachers and counselors and nurses and social workers and even some pastors, really believe that their lives can have an impact on the lives of others. And the flame goes out when the dream exceeds the capability. And I believe we Christians have our own form of burnout. We dream of changing lives for the better. We see the dream of our moms, our dads, our children, our friends coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We see the dream of our spiritual depth increasing, our walk with the Lord being closer, our church growing. But then we end up frustrated when we try to measure the progress, and we wonder if our years of work have had any results at all. Well, Hebrews is not the only book in the Bible that describes this experience of discouragement. And one of the most vivid stories to be found in the Old Testament, the Israelites sat after losing battle after battle as a defeated people. Their city and their temple had been destroyed, and they sat hundreds of miles away in captivity. Ezekiel surveyed a valley of dry bones, which reminded him of his nation Israel, dead, dried up, nothing at all. And the Lord asked Ezekiel, "Ezekiel, can these bones live?" Ezekiel responded, "O Lord, only you know." His flame was about to go out. The prophet's efforts looked hopeless and fruitless. In another Old Testament story, the prophet Elijah fell into a mood of despair just after the greatest victory over the prophets of the pagan god Baal on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah thought finally, once and for all, he had demonstrated that the pagan gods of Baal were nothing more than just stacks of rocks that had been piled around on the mountaintop. And no sooner had he won the victory than Queen Jezebel became more determined to destroy Elijah. And the Bible tells us that Elijah fled to the desert in despair and asked God to take his life. He was prepared to give it all up. His flame was flickering. One of the most powerful scenes in the life of Jesus occurred when great crowds of people were starting to turn away from him. After they had left, only a few disciples were left standing there with him, and he asked those who were left in John 6, "Will you also go away?" It was probably tempting for them to just give it up when they saw nothing spectacular happening. And who of us, from time to time, has not experienced a loss of energy, enthusiasm, and hope? And that is when we need a refreshing in our souls. That's when we need renewal, a new attitude toward our faith, a new infilling of God's Spirit for strength. So how do we go about finding spiritual renewal? Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments, has come out of the ashes of defeat. When Ezekiel saw that valley of dry bones, his favorite city of Jerusalem lay in ruins. The temple, which had been so great and so magnificent, was nothing more than a pile of ashes. It was nothing more than scorched walls, which made it appear as nothing more than an empty shell. As the first century of Christianity was coming to a close, the Romans had burned the holy city of Jerusalem to the ground, the very birthplace of Christianity, our faith. And in each instance, there were folks who were willing to give it all up, giving up in despair, thinking their efforts have been spent on a lost cause. And that same story is being repeated today in more churches than we can count. 50 churches close every week in America. But despite the discouragement, despite the apparent hopelessness, some do not give up. So where do we get the energy to keep on going? Well, in the book of Hebrews, we find what it was that kept their spirits alive and ready for new challenges, and I believe that we can apply these principles to our lives as well. First of all, they drew their strength from other Christians. Those first followers of Jesus Christ remained close to the community of believers, their church. If they had stopped going to church whenever they felt discouraged, they probably would have never returned. How close have you been lately with your brothers and sisters in Christ? The author of Hebrews knew that we need the encouragement of other Christians. And the only passage in the New Testament that I have been able to find that addresses church attendance specifically, the writer of Hebrews wrote, "Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." I suppose you heard about the church that had called a new pastor. One of the deacons, trying to be sensitive to the way folks felt about the new preacher, asked one of the men of the church, "How do you like our new pastor?" The man responded, "Don't like him much. He preaches so long I can't keep awake, and he preaches so loud I can't go to sleep. I don't get much out of him at all." You know, I'm able to stand here this morning and tell that kind of a dumb joke. Of course, that probably really happened sometime along the line. Because people have remained faithful in their attendance to this church in the past. Even when they were plagued with doubt and discouragement in their lives, they came to church. In spite of personal problems, family problems, financial problems, health problems, they still came to church. And they came to church even when they walked away feeling empty. Real spiritual battle do not give up in the middle of the storm. They did not go to sleep in the darkness of the night. They remained faithful through it all. Now you might be asking, why is it important to come to church, even when you don't feel like it? It's because we gain strength from being with other Christians. The writer of Hebrews said again, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And then in Hebrews 3:12 he wrote, take care, brethren, lest there in any of you be an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day. Those early Christians drew encouragement from seeing each other frequently. There's a place where Jan, my wife, my late wife, and I used to spend our vacation time, and near there was a small country church that I would attend on Sunday mornings. And worship services began promptly at 9 o'clock. Now I noticed something about myself and that church. I would usually arrive for worship service right at 9 o'clock or maybe even a few minutes later. I usually sat in the back because all of the middle seats were already full with the 40 or 50 people who attended there every week. At the end of the service, I was usually the second or third person out the door. Now, as far as I know, no one ever knew my name because I never introduced myself to anyone, nor did anyone ever ask anything about me. The only person I ever knew by name was the pastor, and that's because his name was on the sign out front. Now, if I didn't know better, I could walk around saying, you know, that's a cold church. They didn't really care about me, and I could really be critical of them. But you know, I was one of the last ones in and one of the first ones out. I never gave them a chance to know what a really nice guy I am. I never attended a fellowship activity, never went to a Sunday school class, never attended a Bible study. I dropped a few dollars in the offering plate because my tithes and offerings always go to my home church. And you know, some of us think coming and going to church is kind of like walking into a building with a crowd of worshipers, observing rituals that we really don't understand. But you know, in reality, church is a place to participate with the saints of God in worship and lift our praises up to the Lord together. Those early Christian worshipers often met in small groups in a family-like atmosphere. They knew each other and they had concern for each other. And that is why Sunday school and prayer meetings and Bible study groups and youth groups are so vitally important in the life of a church. Because they give us an opportunity to encourage and help others and be encouraged and learn from them. In fact, those early Christians were so much into their church family, the Bible says they risked being punished for visiting their brothers and sisters who were being held prisoners because of their faith. If your spirit needs renewing, you need to be an active part of this worshiping community called the church. If you're not in the mood to come, that's precisely when you need to come the most. Others can lift your spirit through their fellowship and worship and study with you. And if you do it long enough, you will have an opportunity to lift someone else's spirit. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, and by that I mean you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a part of the body of Christ, the church. And it is important that every part of the Lord's body be in perfect shape, for that is the way his ministry is done best. At one time, God chose to do all the work himself. Then he decided to become flesh in Jesus Christ, and he lived for 33 years in a human body. But now God lives in his new body, the church, and through his living spirit, he dwells in every one of us that is a believer, and that is how we become his body on earth. The Holy Spirit does not haunt empty, burned out buildings. And he does not jump out of the Bible and grab people by the neck. He dwells in us to do his work. You know, I cannot think of anyone in the Bible or since who has become a Christian without some other human being involved. Someone says, well, how about the man who's converted in his hotel room by reading a Gideon Bible? Well, who put the Bible there? Who paid for it? Who printed it? Someone asks, well, how about the Apostle Paul? Well, if I remember, he had the witness of Stephen and others. Plus, Ananias came to Paul and instructed him in the ways of the Lord. As a Pharisee, Paul had memorized many of the Old Testament passages that were inspired by God and written down by men. See, the short of the matter is, God uses people like you and me to reach other people. And when we feel burned out, we turn inward instead of outward. We are the Lord's instruments for taking the gospel message to the world, out there, where people need to hear the word. God could have used angels, but angels would have been no use because they know nothing of forgiveness and grace. We do. We know of God's grace, and we have felt God's forgiveness in our hearts when we have confessed our sin. So God provides us with a way to burn hot for him. It's through the ministry, the worship, the study, and the fellowship of his body, the church. This is the place where the flames of burnout are rekindled. Now, I'm not saying that this church or any church is perfect, because it's made up of imperfect people. But what I'm saying is, if you want to burn hot for the Lord, the cure is faithfulness to God and activity in the life of his body, the church. So don't give up. And I have to say, I'm thrilled to see those members with over 50 years here this morning, because you haven't given up. Regardless of what's happened, you've been here. But it applies to every one of us. Never give up. Remember the thrill and the power of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Remember that God's kingdom will never end, and it is still at work. Remember that one day Jesus will return, and those who have chosen to follow him will spend eternity with him. So I encourage you to be an active part of your church, this family of God. Join, gain strength, share encouragement with the people of God. You are the Lord's body. Make sure every part is functioning right. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank you that you have reached out and called each one of us to be a part of your body, of this church family. Lord, I thank you this morning for those who have decided to follow Jesus Christ and have given their lives to him in commitment and in service. Lord, I thank you that you have chosen to use us to be your instruments in this world, to share and tell others of Jesus Christ, so that they too may know the forgiveness of sin and the presence of your Spirit that can strengthen and comfort and give hope each day. Lord, your word says that you so loved the world that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross of Calvary, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh Lord, speak to our hearts this morning. May we look at ourselves and see what our relationship is with you. And Lord, if there's one here who does not know Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior, I ask that you speak to their heart, so that they may take that step of faith and become a part of your body. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.